So it's 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow to keep his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells.
Great. Thanks, John. Thank you much for having me. When I was young, I used to go to church with my godfather. So he was the person who brought me to church. We went there every Sunday, and then he brought me back every Sunday. And I can still remember this one day when we went to church. Was about 6 years old, maybe. And I went out of the Sunday club, and I couldn't find my godfather. Where is he? Where is he? And I looked everywhere, and I couldn't find him. And in the end, I started to cry because I thought he had left me in the church, and now I can't come home. Now, kindly, there was a very kind church family, and they comforted me and said, "Don't worry, he is somewhere." And then together we walked around, and finally we found him. I was happy, and we drove home. Maybe if you're a parent, you have had similar situations where your child is somewhere else and crying out for you because they want to go home. And although you're on your way, the child is crying and crying and crying because obviously they don't know that you're on their way in a strange place, and yet waiting for you. In Peter's first letter, he calls Christians strangers in this world. We are not here. This is not our home, but our home is in heaven, where our Father is. And actually, Jesus says the same as he returned to his Father. He says, "I will go and prepare a place for you." And ever since this day, we have been waiting for this time when Jesus returns and takes us home, like a child is looking out of the window, up in the sky. Where is this coming? When is Jesus coming back? When is he taking us home? Yet for Peter's readers, the situation got even worse because they didn't have a nice church family who comforted them, encouraged the child, "Don't worry, Jesus will come back. Keep trusting in Jesus' promises." And said scoffers have come into the church and said, "Well, where is this coming? Where is Jesus coming?" And they have discouraged the children, God's children. And now God's children are confused and maybe about to give up on their faith, or at least give up on the promises God has given to them. Can they be right? Are they right? And now, having rebuked the scoffers on the passage you looked at last week, Peter is now turning to God's children and tells them and encourages them as they look into the sky and wait for Jesus' return. So our first point for today is this. Don't forget God's waiting for his children's repentance. That's verses 8 to 9. So read with me from verse 8 again. "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." But you do not forget. Do not make the same mistake which the scoffers are doing. They deliberately forget that Jesus will return. Yet this is not you, Peter says. Instead, you keep in mind this one thing. God is God. God does not have a human mind. He does not live according to human rules. If he is God and created time, can he not decide when this moment is, when Jesus will come back, this moment when he will fulfill his promises? Do not make the mistake and assume that you can work it out when Jesus comes back, or even say that Jesus is overdue. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. We do not have the same mind as God has. We do not know everything. And many people do not actually know that there is a reason why God is waiting. And then Peter reveals to his readers the reason why the Lord has not fulfilled his promises yet. But before we look at this very reason, we will watch a short clip, which will hopefully help us to understand this point, or at least not to forget. I know it's not Christmas yet, but it will help us to not forget this very point.
Shut up! 1, 2, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Heather, did you count heads?
11, including me. 5 boys, 6...
Out of all the reindeers, you know you're the mastermind. Santa making fairy telling, he can take the freeway down. I'm reading like a merry-go-round.
We made it.
Can you believe it? Hope we didn't forget anything.
Great. Have a look on verse 9. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The mother said, I hope we have not forgotten anything. Yet the very thing and they forgot is their child. Even though their child had said the night before, I wish I would never see you again. And the mother and the parents, they still love this child. And they don't want to leave this child alone. And so the mum, as you might know, how the story goes on, tries everything to go back to this child. Because they don't want to leave this child alone. It is dangerous for this child to stay in this place on their own. Yet God is not like the McAllisters, like this family. He knows exactly how many children are still left in the house. Even though they have rejected him as their father, he still loves them, and he will not depart until every single child is in this car. Or to put it in a biblical context, he will not send his son to come back, to return, until every single child of his has returned to Jesus and has put his trust in Jesus. He knows it will not be good for this child if this child stays on their own, as we will see a little bit later. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is graciously patient with you. Jesus is not far off or late or stuck in a traffic jam. He is deliberately parking outside, waiting, stopping for you, for God's children to repent. Now the scoffers say, where is this Jesus? Where is he? Well, Peter, God would say, well, actually, I'm standing outside and I'm waiting for you to come back. Jesus is waiting for our non-Christian friends, for our families to come back. They want to see Jesus. And Jesus says, yes, I will come at some point. But before that, I want you to come back. Maybe if you haven't trusted in Jesus, or if you're not trusting in Jesus already, then maybe this is you. I guess Adam will be very happy to talk to you later and talk to you what it actually means to turn back to Jesus and ask him for forgiveness. The Lord is graciously patient. And at the same time, Jesus' return is certain, rapid, and not pleasant for many people. So our second point for today, expect the Lord is coming like a thief. That's verse 10. The Lord is coming like a thief. So read with me from verse 10 again. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Then the heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the heavens and everything done in it will be laid bare. Peter reminds them of Jesus' own words. No one knows when Jesus will return. Yet he is coming. His coming will be like the one of a thief, unexpected and suddenly. It is normally when you feel safe, when suddenly the surprise comes, the thief's coming. And this is not a pleasant surprise, is it? As we will see Jesus is coming. Peter is using a very threatening language to describe the end of this world. The heavens, the elements, the earth, everything done on it will be laid bare. It will burn in fire. God's judgment is on this city, on this world. Especially in my first year, I really liked to go to St. Paul's. Not because I like this church, but mainly because we had free passes and it meant that I could go up and have a perfect look on this beautiful city. So on my days off, I went up, down to the city, climbed up the stairs and enjoyed these views. And I saw skyscrapers everywhere. And this, as you might know, in the city, the city is absolutely packed with buildings. And as if they don't have enough buildings, they're building more and more skyscrapers. And yet, whenever I'm up there, and you might think I'm crazy, and I think to myself, wow, one day, all these buildings will be gone. Not a single stone will be left of another. My grandfather used to tell me what it was like after the war when he grew up. Apparently, in some places, you were able to look out and look for miles and miles without seeing a single house. The scoffers are right. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on like it has been from the creation. Yet, this will certainly not go on forever. One day, there will be another London fire. Now we understand why God is waiting to fulfill his promises. He does not want any of his children to end up in destruction. Everyone who has not turned to the Lord would die if he would come back now. And many Christians feel uncomfortable with this message. And I I find it hard to preach this message. Judgment is not a great topic to talk about, to preach about. However, we need to remember that this is actually good news for every believer, good news for every believer. Once again, think about what it will be left when Jesus has returned. The heavens will be gone, and the elements, by this Peter probably means the air, sky, water, and earth will be destroyed. Everything will be laid bare. Everything evil, everything impure is gone. Now, this is the perfect condition for God to build his new kingdom. Think about Genesis 1. At the beginning, there was no heaven. And what God did to do at that point, he spoke and creation came to be. There was no sky, there was no air, there was no ground. God spoke, and then suddenly there was a sky, there was water, there was a ground. At that time, everything was perfect, a perfect kingdom. This is the kingdom we are awaiting. And when Jesus comes back, he will create this perfect kingdom. This is the place where we will live if we trust in Jesus. Those who have repented, who have turned to God. And even though everything goes on as normal, God says, "My son will come like a thief." If you knew when the thief was coming, you would keep close watch. Don't follow the words of the scoffers. Don't be discouraged by them. They have fallen asleep. They deliberately have forgotten that the Lord will return. Instead, expect the Lord and his coming. He will come any minute. He will take us home any minute. Does this not excite us? Now, a couple of years ago, there was an old lady in our church congregation. She was about to die. And one day, the doctors came into the room and said to her and the relatives, "You have only a couple of hours left." And then she stood up from her bed and looked out through the window for a while. And then people were a bit confused, and people suddenly asked her, and the family asked her, "Mom, what are you doing? Why are you looking out of the window?" And she answered to her family, "I'm waiting for Jesus. Do you think he will pick me up in a bus?" Although she knew her time was about to come, she was not scared, but she was excited. Soon she will be with her Lord and Father. As God's children, let not scoffer or absolute everyone discourage you, but let us keep looking out of this window. Expect the Lord is coming like a thief. For many, this day will be terrible and a scary day. For God's children, however, this will be the day when the Lord will receive, when they will receive a rich welcoming into God's kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yet what does it actually mean to look out of this window and to expect the Lord's coming? Well, thirdly, our last point for today, continue in transformation. Believers becoming holy and godly, verses 11 to 13. Read with me once again from verse 11. "Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live a holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed up its coming. That day will bring about destructions of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells." Well, if everything what we built will be laid bare, it would be foolish to hold on to these very things. It would be like running after the wind. Instead, we hold on to the things we have. And remember what Peter said at the beginning of his letter. He says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. In Jesus, we have everything. And throughout this letter then, Peter has kept reminding us to make every effort to become more and more like Christ, to become more holy and godly. Now in the view of the end, of the end times, Peter says again, live a holy and godly lives. Make every effort. You have made a start with Jesus. So keep going with Jesus. Keep on trusting his promises. While you wait, and make sure that you continue to be transformed into Jesus' likeness through the Holy Spirit. Now, this does not mean that we are saved through these works. Rather, they are a safeguard for us. If we become more holy and godly, it shows that the Holy Spirit is in us and changing us, that we are saved. He is the one who is transforming us, and through his word, every single day. Becoming like Jesus is a guarantee that God will save us when he returns. And from the beginning of this world, God has proven that he will judge the unjust and the unrighteous, but that he will save the righteous. And like God did it in the day of Noah, in the day of Sodom and Gomorrah, he will also do it in the same way in the future. I love verse 12. Not only is God waiting for his children who haven't repented yet to repent, but he's also waiting for believers to become more like Jesus. And we speed Jesus' coming whenever we gain more knowledge of God, whenever we gain more self-control, whenever we persevere, whenever we have more mutual affection and love, whenever we become more like Christ, we make a step forward. And we cannot impact the repentance of our brothers, or only for limited amounts as we go on and share the message with them. Yet we have an influence on our own spiritual growth. So while we wait for Jesus' return, and for him to take us home to the place where righteousness dwells, where our Father lives, let us keep looking out of this window in excitement and make every effort to become more like Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who is living in us. Thank you that he is transforming us to become more like Jesus. And so we pray that we would not listen to the voices outside, but keep hold on to this very promise of your Son's return. And we pray that we will share this glorious message with others so that other people will repent and will be saved on this last day. And Father, we pray that you would really transform us in this coming week as we open up your word for ourselves. And that we would look forward and be excited of Jesus' coming, expecting him to come back every single minute. Amen.